We're up to the very end of the Perek of Zion. Okay, we're really winding down. Sefer Mishlei is winding up. Okay. I want to learn afterwards the Chumash Megillos. We have a while to go, yeah. It'll take some time to finish. We'll see which one we'll start with first.
2 weeks to
Perek. Okay, let's see the end of the Perek. We have to finish with the Rashis and this list of Psukim. Let's go back to the Pasuk of... Let's go back to Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Okay, we'll just run to the Pesukim again. Kikilo li'olam chesen v'im nezer l'dor v'dor. Gol l'chotz, okay, let's see that Rashi. The Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Shemata oshi b'kesef azov shem l'itzkayim li'olam l'kach al tevaz d'vodim k'tanim shalach. Okay, we did that Rashi. And the other person should not be mevazet the simple things. Don't put your confidence in the gold and the silver. Pasuk Chaf Hei. We're up to Peruk Chaf Zayin. We're now up to Pasuk Chaf Hei. Okay, yesterday I translated Gol Chatzir V'Nir Desha to mean that the Chatzir has gone away, has disappeared. And indeed, that's, I think, how the Mitzudos translates it. The Mitzudos translates Gol Chatzir. Chatzir means Lepam Nigle. No, he says Nigle. So Nigle means to reveal. There is a disagreement among the commentators if the word Gola here means it goes away or Gola means it is revealed. So I think in the art scroll, he brings down, they translate in the main part section of the translation, Gola means to be revealed. Yep. And they bring this interpretation in the name of the Me'iri. He learns Gola means it comes forth, the Chatzir, the Nire Deshe. The Chatzir is the early stage. As soon as it just begins to sprout, that's called the Chatzir. And then as it develops, as time passes, then the Nire Deshe. And then when it's in full bloom and full blossom, then it's called Deshe. So these two expressions represent the process of the growth, the development of grass, of straw, whatever, animal fodder. Gol Chatzir V'Nir Desh, look at that. It comes a time of the year when the Chatzir is revealed, the little teeny blades of grass penetrate the surface of the earth, V'Nir Desh, and then before you turn around, there's Desh, there's an abundance of grass for the animals to eat from. But then, watch out, V'Ne'esfu Isva Isharim, but suddenly all the grass can disappear. It disappears, and then the animals have nothing what to eat, and you got a big problem. And if you did not plan in advance, you got trouble.
How does Esav come
in? Esav is a general term, which is a synonym, according to the Iri, for...
Level.
No, it's not a third level. It's another word for Desha. That's how the Me'iri appears to interpret. There are many interpretations, but so he basically says that the first half of the pasuk parallels the second half of the pasuk. The first half says, at times there's parnasa, and at times there's no parnasa. Therefore, there is no one type of commodity asset that's guaranteed to get you through the entire year. You have to diversify, and that's what it says in the next couple of psukim. Okay, let's see the Rashi. Rashi is Gol Chatzir Kishagol HaChatzir B'mei Nisan V'Yire HaDeshe. When the Chatzir is Kishagola, let's assume the same becomes visible. The Yire HaDeshe, so the Chatzir is the early stage, and the Deshe is the later stage. The Nesu is Asavim L'tzmoyach, and then the Asavim are gathered in from blossoming. Now, I'm not sure really how, maybe it means it comes a point in time when it disappears. Oz Yetiv L'cha, then you will be in a good situation. Shehiyu gizoyseyem shel kesavim Oz yetil chashayu gizoyseyem shel kivasim lil vushecha. Then you'll be able to shear the wool off you, the backs of your animal. When your animals are eating well, v'nesu means, I think, you gather in. V'nesu asavim. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what it means. I don't know. But it basically means that at some point, time of the year, there will be an abundance of animal fodder. Your animals will be eating well, and then your animals will produce wool, and you'll be able to shear the wool off the backs of the sheep for your clothing. And the next pasuk goes on to say, "Kivasim lil vushecha umechir sade atudim umechir sade yishvu l'chocho atudim." It will be equal to you, ki toichal habasar v'timkar ha'arais. You'll sell.
Will be worthwhile.
Will be worthwhile. It will be equal to you. The atudim kineged the field. Umechir means umechir sade. It will have the same value as property, real estate. Real estate is something which is very valuable. Here it's telling you that the price umechir, the value, the erech of your animals will be equal. The mechir of the atudim will be equal to real estate. The typical person.
So the second time he's saying invest in animals rather than in fields.
Right, pretty much. Well,
put your money inside.
Diversify. Have the fields also, but we have to read the words backwards. We have to read the words of pasuk of a backwards. The atudim will the mechir of the atudim, which means the price, the value of the atudim, will be equal to a sade. A sade is typically understood to be worth the most valuable type of asset one can have, because the keren is kayemis, and every year it produces peros. Here as well, yishvu l'cho atudim, it will be valuable to you, the atudim, like a field. Ki toichal has basar v'timkar ha'eros. He'll be able to eat the meat. He'll be able to sell the eros, and they will multiply. Like we learned in the Mitzvot, will multiply by being able to they'll reproduce, and you'll have more next year as well. Okay, pasuk of Zayin, v'dei chelavizim
l'lach mecha. What? All of a sudden,
yeah.
Shlomo Amalek is telling us investment advice.
Yeah, that's right.
He told you advice about your wife, and now he's telling you.
Yeah, that's what Mishlei is all about. He's giving you, but these are Mishlei. These are just learning. Sometimes Rashi focuses on more of the medish of the nimshel, and sometimes he's more practical. Okay, I'm not really sure. Let's see the end. The last Rashi, the last pasuk. V'dei chalevizim le'lach mecha le'lechem esech v'chaim le'narasech. So Rashi says v'dei par nisosecha, your sustenance. You'll have a sufficient parnasa from the chalev izim, from the milk of the goats. That's a different type of animal, not the sheep, the goats. For who? What will you gain from this? From the chalev, the milk of the izim, for your own bread, lelach mecha, and the lechem be'secha. Rashi says to stopek bechalev u'izim harei melitzasa. You will have, it will be sufficient from the milk of the goats. That's the melitzasa. That is the expression. What is this coming to teach us? Okay, the Rashi over here is ending over here. The pshat of the pasuk. Now Rashi goes on to say the hamashal. What's the message? The deeper message. Kain who is the following. Pnei tzarnecha. We did this already yesterday. We discussed yesterday. Harav hamismaneh al hatzibor yisiein b'cheiko v'yinahalem la'at. A rav, a leader that's appointed upon a community, he shall very delicately lead his flock. He shall take his flock in his bosom and guide them gently. Ki lo la'olam chosen, because his own. Now here Rashi is saying something very interesting, because the leader will one day need the people. What do we mean? His power, his strength will not remain forever. Uvezos yoichal peros v'hakeren kayemes. He will one day need to come on to these, to his balabatim. Now, what does it mean? The Rashi goes further to explain in more detail. Galei chotzir keshe yispashtu shemu oisav. The chotzir here means when his teachings. The chotzir means the rabbi preaches, and when he preaches, I once went for an interview. I never can get this out of my mind, and the rabbi, I was applying for a job to be an assistant rabbi, and. It was a long interview process, and the rabbi said to me, okay, we'll see. And he says, don't worry, you'll get to preach. You'll get to preach. It's like a very modern shul. You'll have have opportunities to preach. It just, that expression was new to me. I was a lot younger than I am now, and that expression, preach, you know, you think about shiurim, learning Torah, you'll preach. You'll preach to the congregants. So here it says, Gali Chatzir, the Chatzir means you will reveal the grass. What's the grass? The grass means the teachings of the leader. Kishe yispashtu shemu oisav. Utigadel hatorah al yado. When this leader will succeed in spreading forth his teachings to the community, and Torah will become great through him. Oz yiyu hakivasim ha'ele levusho. Then his balabatim, these sheep, will be his own clothing. What do we mean? Yiyu hatalmidim lo. They will be for him l'shem ulevush hoyd v'hadar. They will be for him a glory. Wherever he go, the talmidim, they will spread his name, his fame, his teaching, and it will be a garment for him forever. So according to the parish of Rashi is telling us over here that's the connection between Pasuk Chaf Hei and Pasuk Chaf Vav. Pasuk Chaf Hei, it goes together with Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Let's go back to Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Pasuk Chaf Gimel addresses this leader. You shall know your people. Shis l'b'chol adarim. Ki li'olam choysen v'innezel adarved v'innezel adarved. Don't take anything for granted. Pasuk Chaf Dal is a little bit difficult. That Rashi doesn't really explain how Pasuk Chaf Dal fits into Pasuk Chaf Gimel. But the basic message is a leader should know his people. He should know what their koychos hanefesh are, and adjust accordingly to teach them the proper limudim. And then in Pasuk of K, when it says golochatzir, you will reveal to them teachings v'nira desha, and it will appear grass, meaning deeper insights into Torah, v'nesu islo sarim, and by doing so you will gather in the grass of the mountain, you will accomplish great things. And then when you succeed in teaching Torah in your old age, then all of your talmidim will come to you and help you and further assist you in spreading the marbe kavod shemayim. Kvasim lul vushechu mechiyot sadeh atudim. These ideas, v'dei chalevizim lalachmah l'vlach meisecha, because these are different mishalim. I don't have a clarity in what these things mean, but this is the basic gist of what Rashi is telling us, how he interprets these last few psukim. Okay, now there are another collection of midrashim, some interesting midrashim. First of all, there's a very important halacha that we learn from this pasuk, Pasuk of Zion. Pasuk of Zion says, "V'deicha levi zim l'lachmecha l'lechem be'secha." Who eats first? We all know the halacha that if a person has a pet, you are mechuyev to feed your pet before you eat yourself. Right, you have to give. If you have even fish, it's a very big problem. Even if you have fish, I saw written up in the Sefer, if you have goldfish and they have not yet, they're feeding. How often do you feed goldfish? Once a day, something like that. So if now it's their feeding time, every night you feed at 7 o'clock, come home from work, and you normally feed the fish. You're not allowed to eat dinner until you feed your fish. It's a very shocking halacha. If you have a dog, certainly that's the case. If you have a cat, if it's their feeding time, they come before you. However, let's say you fed your fish, and now the question is, it's either me or my wife. Who gets to eat first? So you would say, kol shekein. What? Kol shekein. If I have to feed my animals first, so certainly my wife comes before me. No, it says here, we learn halacha, l'lachmecha, first comes your bread, then comes your children and your wife. L'lachem be'secha, be'secha is your wife, v'chayim l'na'ar be'secha. The Gemara learns from this pasuk that although your animals come first, but not your own family members. Your own family members, they have an obligation to give you kavod, you come first, you come before them. It's a very interesting halacha, and that's what the Gemara learns out from this pasuk. Okay, another interesting drasha we learn from this pasuk is, what? No, that's kabed zichu v'yasimecha. That's different. That's not what the pasuk is not discussing that. The pasuk is discussing l'lach mecha, your bread. Your bread comes before l'lechem be'secha. Be'secha is a code for your wife. V'chayim l'na'ar be'secha, and life for your children. Your the na'ar means the young ones. Okay, that is one interesting drasha. Another interesting drasha is the word kivosim. Don't read it kivosim, but read it kivushim. Kivushim means hidden matters, secrets. The Rosei Torah, Maisa Merkava, Maisa Bereshis, the secret matters. Kivushim lilvushecha. The Gemara interprets this to mean keep these things underneath your garments. don't reveal. A person should not go around if he happens to know secrets, the great secrets of the world. I don't know if we have people like that today that really know the secrets of the world, but there used to be, there were such stories years ago about very holy people that claimed to know the Ketz Mashiach. They claimed to know secrets about when Mashiach will come, and they were very tempted to reveal. I don't remember all the details, but they were tempted to reveal these secrets, and they held back, and they couldn't control themselves. It got to a point when they wanted to reveal, and there are many stories where suddenly these people, they died, or something happened to them, and they were unable to reveal these secrets. Look at Yaakov Avinu, Hey Yosef, Yagidu Lechem, Eiz, Shaikah Eschem, Yachas Hayamim, and then the Shechina departed. Why? Because Kivushim, Dvam Kivushim, hidden matters, Lulavushecha, keep these things underneath your garment. Not everyone is meant to know these things. Okay, now we learned there is a contradiction in the Midrashim in how to interpret Umechir Sadeh Atudim. The Gemara Masechta Chulin says, I'll read you the exact words, Umechir Sadeh Atudim, Le'oilam, at all times, Yimkar Adam Sadeh, a person should sell real estate, the Yikach Atudim, and purchase cattle, sheep. It's a livestock. It's a much better investment, because that's why mechir sadeh, back in Pasuk Chavav, mechir sadeh, sell real estate atudim, so that you can purchase livestock. Now that is contradicted with another Maamar Chazal that says that adarava, a sadeh is the best thing you can possibly have. Real estate is the best possible thing you can possibly have, because the real estate is keren kayemes forever, and it produces peros. Atudim, they're subject to, who knows, disease. They can die. Who says they will reproduce to the degree that you hope for? They need to be supported. They need them to be fed. There are many, very many risks that come along with owning livestock. A sadeh, if you have a bad year, okay, next year is a new year. You know, the next year things can be better. The field in the real estate did not go anywhere. So therefore, there are conflicting Maamarei Chazal. If we take, in other words, the pasuk here could be read like the way Rashi learned. Or mechir sadeh atdim it's yishvu. Rashi, it's mashma. The ultimate type of investment is real estate. And atudim, umechir sadeh atudim, we interpret, we read the words out of order, that umechir atudim means the value of atudim, the erech, the value of owning livestock is equivalent to a sadeh, which has the connotation that a sadeh is the ultimate investment. But Gemara Masechta Chulin says, don't read the words out of order, read the words in order, and that would indicate umechir does not just mean value, umechir means the sell, better sell the sadeh in order to purchase atudim. Okay, now I don't know what this means, but the Gemara, there's one of the last thing I want to point out. The Gemara says that if a person sees a goat in a dream, many people know brachas inside out, so you probably know this Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Haroye Eiz Bachaloim Shana Misbarech Eslav. You see one goat. You see one goat in a dream. You're in good shape. You're a goat. You're good. Maybe that's what it means there. I do remember hearing such a thing like that. That's the night of Pesach. That's a very interesting idea. The night of Pesach, you have big chalomos. You have aspirations, dreams. Person dreams big when you're in a frame of mind surrounded by your family, and you've drinking 4 cups of wine, a good delicious meal, and you have zemiros. You're in a different frame of mind. You're a bala chalemos, and if you see a goat, chad gadya, the zaben abba. Maybe that's what it alludes to. It's a saying, a very deep idea. You see a goat in your dream, it's a sign. What is the sign? If you see one goat, problem is, let me see the whole Gemara. Haroye eiz b'chaloim, shana misbarech eslow. Haroye izim, achad gadya, chad gadya, two gadyas, izim, shonim. That means you're set forever, for the next couple of decades, for the next decade, you're set shanim misbarchos lo. How do you know this? The Gemara Masech, the Brachos, quotes this very pasuk. It says, "V'dei chalev izim lelachmecha lelechem beisecha v'chayim lenarosecha." What greater bracha can you possibly want than having parnasa, parnasa for your family, parnasa for your children, izim? And the Gemara says, "Haroye izim." So the Gemara is saying, if you have one, it just means a little bit. But when it's izim, it means implies that there's going to be an abundance of lechem for you, for your family, for your children. It's a beautiful pasuk, and I think what you just pointed out is a beautiful drush, a mayor, it's a kval de drusha, is that that's what's happening by the night of the Seder. Chad gadya, the gadya is the aids, is a goat,
and it's cheap if you
want to
fall asleep.
What, maybe that's right. Enoch and Ami, why not?
All many.
You count sheep in the night. Well, that sounds like from Sesame Street, right? Sesame Street, Count Dracula. counting the sheep. Enoch and Ami probably comes from here. Where else would it come from? Not from the Chazal.
Not to throw cold water on it, but if I should say that the dream interpretation part of the Gemara, those two blot on dream interpretation,
yeah,
is only for the Gedolim, not for the average person.
Not for the average person. But the night of Pesach, all
makes no sense. A lot of the interpretations that are so far off.
They're so far fetched. Yeah.
So it says it's not for the average.
It means
person.
A person who live and breathe. People who live and breathe Tanakh. So when you hear the word goat, what would you think about a goat? You're not going to go think about Narishkeit. If you live and breathe Tanakh, so when you hear the word goat, oh, what does a goat mean? It comes to mind. V'dei chalev izim. So again, that's, I think, a very nice insight for your Haggadah. Meir, you put this in your Haggadah. The night of the Seder is a time to dream. Big hasagas. And if you see goats in your dream, that's a very good sign. You don't have any say the Chadgadya. The Chadgadya, that's the end of the Seder. That's the dream. That's how you go if you fall asleep. Anticipate.
In other words, that was when he decided Yosef was the next one of the Avos, and he didn't know that there wouldn't be any more Avos, as we call it, because to the dreamer belongs the Malucha, and Yosef
was the dreamer. You have to have big Hasagas. If you have big Hasagas, you'll get somewhere. If you have clean Hasagas,
awesome. Yosef dreamed about it, and the brothers killed the goat.
Okay, so this concludes this okay, this concludes.
I'll let you go to my shul, make the speech.
Okay, let's now go to the next parak. Parak Chof Ches. Parak Koyach. Chof Ches is the word Koyach. Nasu ve'en roidev rasha v'tzadikim kichfir yiftach. Nasu means a rasha is running from an imaginary foe. A Rasha is always a friend. Rasha has a self-conscious, he realizes he's in a lot of, he's committed averus, and he's always looking over the shoulders, paranoid, who knows who's after him. That's because he has destroyed his neshama through averus. But tzadikim are confident. You live with confidence, and therefore, kichvir yiftach, they're not afraid of anything, just like a kfir, a lion, a young lion. A kfir is a young lion, is not afraid of anything. Likewise, a tzaddik has no fear of anything in this world. Let's see the pasuk out. They'll run, no one's running, and you're afraid. So here we have this idea. Let's see the mitzvah stuff that explains in words. Pasuk Aleph, Nasu al Harsham, Tipo Lechitas Elokim. Upon the wicked will fall the terror of Hashem. V'yanusu mibli mi yirdoif af acher echad mehem. And they will achar echad. What do you have?
Yeah,
achar echad mehem. That a rasha will flee, even though no one, there's not even one single person that's chasing after him. L'sheyifchadu kulam, when they all get afraid. Ki rodef ayin, there is no one chasing them. No one is chasing them, but yet each individual Rasha is running for his life. The Imkos, what?
That doesn't correspond to reality. I mean, very often the worst people are the ones who are totally unafraid of living or dying. They don't care about it, and they have no Unfortunately, they don't have any fear.
ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah. Are they running away from anyone?
What?
You're right. I don't know the answer. I don't know. So there are different times. You're right. What? I don't know the answer. I don't know. The terror comes in their heart. You're right. I don't know. How do you explain this with the world of reality? When the Rishon, you see that they're successful. Sadik, Veraloi, Russia, Vitovloi.
Yeah, I mean, they might appear to be successful, but they're often paranoid.
They're paranoid. He's saying that deep down, you put them on a psychologist's couch. You will discover they live a life of fear. It's all a show. It's all a show. They appear to be complacent, happy. The truth is, a life of violence brings within it a terror of being destroyed. Even though no one is chasing them, no one is running after them, no one is pursuing them, yet they have terror in their hearts and they run for their life. Aval hatzadikim, kol echad mehem af kishu yachidi, even though he's alone, yeh baiteach, he's faithful, the shanan, complacent, the mishenes Hashem, relying upon the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have faith in Hashem, kikfir, like a lion, habateach b'koich, who has faith in his krech. And there's an important point that Mesudas here is doing in a very delicate way. He's taking note that there is a contradiction between the Rasha and the tzadik, in that the Rasha is b'loshon yachid, and the tzaddikim is b'loshon rabim. Now, you would expect that when you're dealing with sin, it says Rasha, b'loshon, we're dealing with a single Rasha. And when it says tzaddikim, we're dealing with a collection, a community of tzaddikim. Yet the Mitzvah says here it's to be interpreted, at least in his opinion, just the opposite. Being that it says Rasha, b'loshon yachid, it's like ki'ish echad b'leiv echad.
Well, it says
No, okay, you're right, that's the secret, nasu. But it says Rasha, so Rasha means they're all together. Rasha is b'loshon yachid, which means you can have a community. You can have 1,000 Rishayim. So you would expect that each Esrei, Yomer Chazak, each one will strengthen the other. And if certainly there's nothing to be afraid of, there's no one attacking us, so why are we afraid? Yet that is the incredible Hashkacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts Moirach Bilavavim, terror in their heart, even though they may be many and they're all intertwined, they're all a community, still they'll all flee. No honor among thieves. How does that apply to this idea?
Each one is afraid of the other.
Of the other one. Even though it appears they're all together, they don't trust each other. But the tzaddikim over here means b'loshim yochid. Even if you have a lone tzaddik, he's all alone, he's surrounded on all sides by enemies. V'tzadikim kikfir, like an individual kfir yochid, yiftach, he has confidence, nothing's going to happen to him. Yeah.
You know, the Torah says, like in battle, at the end,
yeah.
The Shatrim comes stand on one leg. Right, it's one person starts a rebellion or a riot, everyone else picks up on it. They fear it.
That's what the Pasuk says, because that person legitimately
contagious to the other.
In Echanami, so you want to say that same idea when we're dealing with the Rishayim, that you have a group of Rishayim and the Moruch builds upon itself. Hashem puts a little fear in the heart of one Rasha, and that's contagious and it destroys the entire group. Okay, and that's another idea. But that's the point that Rashi, the Mitzudas, is making here, that it says here Rasha b'loshim yachid, but alludes to a group, like, you know, by Halahav by Har Sinai, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Ki Ish Echad B'Leiv Echad. Here as well, all of the Rishom are collected into one group, and yet Nasu, they're all running for their lives. Hashem brought Moruch B'Levavam. Let's see Rashi.
And you take that example of Yichad, but supposing
the Christmas
March, when they left, they all was fleeing all over
the place. Kitinik HaBarech Mibes HaSefer. But one moment at a time. At the time of Har Sinai, they were in a good mood. Ki ish echad b'levech. What happened later? That's another story. Okay, let's see Rashi.
School is out.
You know the joke. The joke is that you see now it's also ben hazman of all yeshivas. You know the joke is that the Klal Yisrael, they ran away from Har Sinai. Ki tinuk habareach mibeis hasefer. Why doesn't it say like the Rebbe? The Rebbe, when school is out, believe me, the Rebbe runs. The Rebbe runs from the Beis HaSefer with the Talmidim. He's very happy to get a vacation. What? No, we're talking about a mashal. The mitzias is when the year is over, vacation, the Rebbe also runs from the Beis HaSefer. So why did Chazal focus on the tinoik? The answer is chas v'sholem. Don't be mekadreg on Klal Yisrael. They didn't run that fast. You don't get it? The Rebbe runs faster than the Talmud. When school is out, the children are, they're happy to leave. The Rebbe, he runs an Olympic runner. So Claudius, when they left the Har Sinai, they didn't run that fast. They just run slowly, like children run, slowly. They didn't run like the Rebbe. Because the Rebbe, the Rebbe, you don't get the joke. You have to teach. What? No, it's a joke. It's a famous joke. I told this.
The Rishalmi.
What?
It goes against the Rishalmi.
Yeah.
In Gemara Shabbos. What do you call it? Rebbe's not allowed to learn Laura. I mean, a person's not allowed to learn Laura on there because he might want to keep the fire going longer. But a Malamed Tinokus is allowed because while he might want the light to go longer, the kids are not, you don't have to worry because the kids, if anything, the kids are going to make sure that the light goes out first. They want the light to stop. Oh, she is over. So we can go home. Let's see Rishalmi.
Yeah. Hey, it's just a joke. This is a Melitza. This is not a serious. Let's over here. Rashi Aleph. Nasu ve'en roidef rasha. Nasu harasham kishiyavay idom. The rasham, they flee when a tragedy comes upon them. The yiblu bedavar kal, and they slip on a small matter. Ve'en roidef, and there's no one really running after them. But tzadikim. Amitz libam, their hearts are strong. Ba'akadosh Baruch Hu, in the faith, like Kadosh Baruch Hu, kikfir, asher yivtach bigvurasai. Same exact thing as the Mitzudos David. Pasuk base, bepesha eretz. Now this is an amazing pasuk. When there is pesha, bepesha eretz kama. When there is sin among in the earth, rabim, how does Hashem punish mankind? Everyone becomes a macher. When there are too many machers, that's chaos. Everyone's in charge. Years ago, there was a very complaint. The police department had a very major complaint against the Orthodox community. When they come to a crime scene, they come to an emergency, everyone's the rabbi. Who's in charge here? Everyone claims he's the rabbi, he's in charge. Everyone is wearing a black suit with a black hat, and everyone is telling the police what to do because they're the rabbi. And they demanded that you have to set up some type of, this is before Misaskim, you gotta set up some type of system where we know who we can talk to, we can know who represents the community. Some type of system where everyone is in charge, no one is in charge. And that leads to major, major chaos. Hamevin Yavin. This is a plague that is common in shuls. In shuls, everyone thinks they're in charge. Everyone thinks, I'm the gabbai, I'm the president, I'm the chairman of the board, I'm the past president, I gave the most money, I did this, I'm the rabbi. Don't you think I should be in charge? I'm the rabbi. No. You're not in charge. The rabbi is the last person to make decisions in the shul. Right? This is a plague that is true in society, and it's true in government as well. Bepesha, eretz, rabim, sudech, when there is pesha on the earth, the punishment is there are many rabbin, the sorecha are in abundance. Uva adam mevin yodea, but uva adam mevin yodea kain yar. Let's see exactly how Mitzudas translates those words. I actually forgot what that means. Let's see, possibly it's bepesha. Bavur hapesha due to sin. Am haaretz kama, bavur hapesha am haaretz, when the people in the community are sinners. How does Hashem punish man? Yirbu kitzinim. There are many leaders. It comes about many officers. Shereitzim rak toivas atzmam. So the Mitzvah here puts a very negative twist. What the Putin says, what do you mean there are many leaders? Each leader is selfish. He only wants his own honor, his own benefit. the land is destroyed, the land goes to waste. When everyone is out for their own self, the mitzvah is adding a little more of a flavor to the pasuk. No one's out for the greater, everyone's out for themselves. Everyone's out for themselves. No one's, if you have one person, then one person has potential to look out for the greater good. But when you have many people that are in charge, everyone is looking for themselves, and therefore the haaretz hine nishchasa uva adam. Okay, now here's the hard part of the pasuk. Bavur adam mevin, due to a person who's mevin. What does it mean mevin? Yodea datam lahashiva mipesham, a person who knows how to inspire the people to do tshuva from their sins. Yarech hamakom kiyum aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring about kiyum to the land. Af biyos kein sharabim kitzineha, even if there are many leaders, kilo yiru v'lo yashchisu, they will not destroy one another. If there is one person out there who knows how to harness the potential of the community and knows how to inspire people to do tshuva, then all of the leaders will fall into place and there will be no destruction. The end of the pasuk is of a neiv, it means there is a tzaddik. If there is in the community a person who is neiv and he understands Yodea, I think those two words have to be read together. There's a tzaddik who understands how to inspire people. Again, the mitzvah says, "Bavur Adam Mevin," a wise man, Yodea Daitam. He knows how to speak to the people. He knows how to guide them. Then Kain Yarech, so Hashem will extend, will not destroy the land. The land will endure. It will survive. It will survive all of these crazy people that are trying to destroy the world.
Is this Pinchas as a Kanoi?
Referring to Pinchas?
As a Kanoi?
I don't know. I didn't see any medrash that interprets this reference to Pinchas. I don't know. This pasuk is interpreted in reference to Adam HaRishon. I'm sorry, to Avraham Avinu. Uva'ava Adam Mevin Yodea. I'll read you the Medrash. The Medrash is in the Tanchuma. Who is the Av Adam? These three words together. The Adam Mevin Yodea, a man who is understanding and knows. Ze Avraham. This refers to Avraham, who's called an Adam. Where do we find Avraham being called an Adam in Yoshua? Ha'adam Hagadol Bo'anokim. The man that's great among the giants. And who is the man that's great among the giants? Chazal Dashnes, Siddush Chazal, Amar Bilevi, this referred to Bereshit Rabbah, Ze Avraham. Why was he called Gadol? Because he was meant, he really should have been born before Adam HaRishon. But for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and put him away for the right generation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's called Mavin. He came to recognize there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. And Vinisvada. Vinisvada means he made it be known through the 10 Nisyonos. So it's a very precise interpretation of this pasuk in Tanchuma. The Adam is Avraham Avinu, code for Adam Gadol Bo'anakim, Mevin. He on his own came to realize there is a creator. The whole world was worshipping idols. And Avraham or Ivri, he realized there was a creator. And Yodea, he made it known. How did he bring out his knowledge? Through passing the 10 Nisyonos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I assume the reason why we know Yodea means Nisyon is because the last Nisyon, which was the culmination of the 10 Nisyonos, was acknowledged through the words, Ato Yodati Ki Yirei Elokim Ata V'lechasach V'zbinchas Yechidcha Mimeni. So since the last Nisyon was Ato Now Yodati Yodea, that was the end of the 10 Nisyonos, this again is the reference to Avraham Avinu. Kain Yarech. Kain means so it will be. Yarech, there will be an extension. If Avraham Avinu did not come on the scene, the world would have come to an end. All of the Kitzinim, all of these crazy people out there, Nimrod and all of the four kings, the five kings, they would have destroyed. Well, in fact, that's the message I just left out, is what's the proof to this idea? Very interesting idea. What's going on during the time of Avraham Avinu? This fits into this. I extend the message at the end of the pasuk, but it's probably even more interesting the message in the beginning of this pasuk. What was going on during the time of Avraham Avinu? There was a world war. The four kings against the five kings. So many kings? Nine kings? you know, in the Cold War, there was the United States versus the Soviet Union. You have two kings. How many kings do you have already? How many countries have to get together and go to war? So the Medrash over here says that this is outrageous. We take this for granted. We just read the Pesukim, we're brainwashed. We don't even think about it. We don't think about it. You need a child, or you need a service, an adult who's about tshuva, to ask the right questions, to wake you up to the obvious questions. What in the world is going on? There are four kings and five kings. Go study world history. How many times do you find that there are so many kings going at each other at the same time? Now, siblings say the four kings, they was a union. They got together. All right, you have to understand what...
What?
Countries came together. Okay, but the Medrash still, I understand, but the Medrash of the year still says that it's bizarre in the Alkut Shimoni's understanding, what in the world is going on? Four kings, five kings, and then they served for 13 years, for 12 years, and the 13th year they rebelled. What's going on over here? The answer is because that is an indication that humanity has sunk to a very low level. And how do we know that? This pasuk, b'fesha eretz, when the people, when the am haaretz are living a life of sin, then rabim sareha. Then you're going to discover there's no achdus in the world. Everyone is out for themselves. There'll be a situation when there are four kings on one side, there are five kings on the other side, and if we're considering each one to be a separate king, that must be an indication that there was not complete unity among each other. Everyone also had their own agenda. It just happened to be that for this one particular thing, they all got together, but they're still called four and five. Why couldn't there be just one, everyone come together under one banner? The answer is, everyone is selfish because there's pesha. What?
Mi barosh.
There's selfishness, and that selfishness is a result of pesha eretz. Rabim sarecha. Who came to the rescue? Who saved the world? Next words of the pasuk. Uve adam mevin. The man who understood there is a ribayna shel olam. And Yodea, he let it be known to the world there is a Ribbono Shel Olam by passing the Ten Nisyonos. Kein Yarech, only through him do the world continue to survive. Kein also means a foundation. Kein is a word for a foundation. He established a foundation in this world that the world can continue to endure forever by creating Klal Yisrael. It's a very beautiful medrash. Really, really, really explains the whole pasuk in Eifin Mehudar. What?
What's going on in this country now? Everyone's in it for themselves, and the country is falling apart.
Okay, let's see pasuk Gimel. Gever Rosh. Let's see right away in the mitzvahs. The oishek, when we have a gever rosh, we have a poor man. The oishek dalim davar diber behoive. The pasuk is describing something that's very common. Ki haosher ein maniach ligzol oshoy ki chazaku. A rich man will not allow someone to steal his property because he's very strong. He can hire a security team that will guard his property. So therefore, the pasuk here says a gever rosh, when a man who is poor. Okay, let's read the whole mitzvah. Harehu matar, harehu kimatar shaitef bechazaka. It's like rain, a flood. The goyev hazram, it floods the seeds, the ein lechem, and there is no produce. Af. So here too, ki derech hamatar lahagdil tvua. Even though normally it is the derech of the rain to produce tvua, mikol makam lepa'amim od yafsid. Sometimes the rain is destructive. Generally, rain is creative. It's productive. It causes the grain to grow. But sometimes when there's a flood, then the rain is destructive. So likewise, Kein Harosh Hazeh, Choyshev Laharbo Sonu Begezel, he thinks he's going to increase his assets to Gezel, V'od Yavolo Chisaron, but the truth is, it will come upon him poverty. So the mashal here is the motor. We have to read over here the pasuk backwards. Just like we have motor sochef ve'ein lochem, we have motor rain that floods a field, and through its destructive means, ve'ein lochem, there is no bread. And even though motor normally is something which has potential to produce, But here, when it comes down in a productive way, it's destructive. Likewise, the beginning of the pasuk reads, we have a gever rosh v'osheg dalem. We have a poor man. We have a rosh here means rosh means poor, and osheg means extortion of the poor. We have a person of low moral value, a gever rosh, a man who is an evil person. I think that's what it means here. A gever rosh v'osheg dalim, and he oppresses the poor, is equivalent to motor sochei fe'ein lachem. Even though he thinks that he's a noble person, he thinks the Rasha thinks choshev lahar b'shono. He thinks that he's going to increase his wealth through gazel. The truth is, he's just going to destroy himself by stealing. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi gever rosh. Who's the gever rosh in Rashi interpretations in the Medrash? Dayan am haaretz. It refers to a dayan am haaretz. Rosh here means he's poor in halacha. Doesn't necessarily mean that he's poor in assets and wealth. He's poor in knowledge. Oyshek dalim, he oppresses the poor. Bedin in din, al she'enay mosin din, being that he's not patient in din. Harehu kimotor hasechiv, he's not patient in din, he's not patient in judgment. Harehu kimotor hasechiv es hasodeh, he's equivalent to rain that floods the field. Ve'ein oysa peris, does not do peris. The word sechiv means shaitev, means to flood. In the Mishnah we have the same word, nis tabcha sadehu, the field was flooded. Ve'chein nischaf abirecha, nishtefu umoadu v'choshlu, it means that your produce has been trampled upon. It's been trampled, it's been destroyed, it's been flooded by the rain. So here with the pasuk basically is telling us again over here is we have a gever rosh, we have a person who is poor in knowledge. He's poor in understanding. He's poor in intellect. He thinks he's a good person, and he thinks, oh, how am I going to become a wealthy person? Through extortion, through involving myself in a parnasa that is corrupt. That is something which is a horrible thing. It's like rain. You're wasting your talent, your effort, your abilities. It's like rain that floods a field and does not produce any lechem. In fact, you're going to destroy yourself.
Actually, Rashi doesn't say that he's going to gain wealth.
He's just making a mistake. He doesn't belong there.
He doesn't know how to pass him.
He doesn't belong in that position. Yeah, he doesn't. The dayan amaretz. Okay. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Dalet. Oizvei Soira. Okay, let me just review a medrash over here. The medrash over here says, before we go further, the medrash interprets this pasuk in reference to Yiftach. Okay, Yiftach Hagiladi. Yiftach was one of the Shaiftim. But Yiftach was not the biggest Talmud Chacham. He was not a Talmud Chacham. Ze Yiftach Shahaya Rosh Betoira. So here we refer to him as a Gever Rosh. And what did he do? He was Oishek Esadalim Vayomulo Emor Noshiboles Vayomas Siboles Vloyach Ladaber Kane. He oppressed his people. He oppressed his people. We have to go back and study the story, the exact details, what's referring to, which part.
They couldn't say the sin.
And therefore, v'hoyu shechatam, it says he killed them.
Couldn't say shibolus, it said shibolus.
It was a lit fuck.
Sabayim. Now, what happened? What was the ma'aseh with Yiftach? Okay, what is it over here? There was smata secha ve'ein lachem. So this refers specifically to when he went to battle and he made a neder to Hashem. If I succeed, the first object that comes out of my door will be a carbon to Hashem. And who came out of his door first? His daughter. So what did he do? So the pasuk literally says that he slaughtered his daughter. Now we know that Chazal tells us it's not necessarily so. It just means that his daughter was taken to an isolated location and never got married. And Chazal say that it's a terrible tragedy because he could easily have been matar neder. But being that he was not a Talmud Chacham, he did not know the halacha. He thought that he had to keep the neder. So the Medrash interprets this whole story into this pasuk. Gever, what? He didn't want to go. He didn't want to go. That's another. Right. I don't know the details. He didn't want. He should have gone. He covered. He didn't want to go to Pinchas. Pinchas didn't want to go to him. each one was holding out for kavod. Who's going to be mi barosh? Who's going to humble themselves to the other person? Einachanami. But in any event, it was a very great tragedy, and that's what the Medrash interprets in this as a gever rush yiftach hagiladi. He was rush. He was poor in Torah knowledge. The isek dalim. He oppressed. He killed his people. The people that were not up to par. He will, because of his lack of Torah, he was did not deal with his followers in the proper way.
He wanted to get even. He had a revenge, now you come to me.
And then Mata Soichai Ve'en La'olachem, he flooded his field. His field here means his daughter. A person's children are like their assets in life. So you have assets. You want a field. What do your children do? They produce grandchildren, great grandchildren. It's a field that produces peros in this world. But because of his ignorance and his bad nidos, he refused to go to the Talmud Chacham for Hatara. It's like Matar Seichef Ein Lachem. There was no peros. His daughter did not produce peros. Did not produce bread. She never married. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Dalet. Oizei Sarah Yehalalu Rasha. This pasuk is quoted in the Gemara. Often, people you have to read the pasuk and the words of the pasuk a little bit backwards, out of order. Yeah, Halalu Rasha Oizei Saira. The Rasha praises the people who abandon Torah. You always hear stories on the media. If Chas V'Shalom, something bad happens to a person, goes off the derech, so they're right away screaming, "Oh, look at your society! Look, you caused people to leave the fold." The Rishayim are always praising the people who abandon in the Torah, and finally come around to acknowledge that the Torah is archaic, it's outdated, it's ancient, and there's not any. This is the nature of the Rishoyim.
So but get a book published that you leave the derrick and write a book about it.
Exactly. So these are the Rishoyim. Yeah, Hallelu Rasha. The Rishoyim are praising the Oizvei Soira, those people who leave, who abandon the Torah. And but the pasuk gives us the pasuk. Okay, you want to read? Let's see the mitzudas. The mitzudas. Okay, we'll see. It can be both ways. Okay, you want to say Oizvei, those who abandon the Torah. Yeah, Hallelu Rasha. Okay, it's really both ways. Both ways are the same. Those who abandon the Torah. Yeah, Hallelu Rasha. But the Shemay Soira. Here the pasuk is telling us that the people who are guardians of the Torah, they have an obligation, Yiskarvam, they have an obligation to fight. Don't take the sitting down. Yiskaruvam, now this is a contradiction to other psukim we're going to have in the Medrash in a moment, because we have many psukim in Tanakh that tell us that stay far away from people from Rishon. You'll never win with the Rasha. They're not looking for answers, they're just looking to fight. You can never win a debate with a Rasha. This pasuk says it's not so. You will win the debate. The Shoymei Soira Yiskaruvam, fight with them, debate them, engage them in dialogue, and you will prevail. Let's see the Mitzvah Pasuk Dalet.
What's the distinction between this and the other case?
Well, so when you should fight, you should not fight?
Yeah.
So the Gemara, I'll talk and mention that one more. Let's just finish the Mitzvot and Rashi, and we'll come to the Medrash. Give different answers. Oizei Sarah, Elu She'azu V'Torah V'Azvua, those people that abandon the Torah, V'Azvua, two different words which mean the same thing, abandon the Torah, Yahalu Oles HaRasha, they'll also pray, they also praise the wicked. In Kain Hemo Gerumi, I know they're worse than the Rasha. Why? Ki HaRasha Yodeh B'Yatzma Shloi Toi V'Masaf. A Rasha knows that his deeds are not good, Aval Yasa Lit Teovan, but he can't help himself. He's an addict. Aval Hey Mehalim Asaf. But the people, these people, they're worse. The Oizei Sar, they actually praise the Rasha and they cherish this. This is a proper way of life. This is worse because there's no hope for these people. Shana Uperish Yoiser Mikulu, a person who has repeated Uperish Yoiser. Ushana, person who knows better, Uperash, he chose to separate himself. Yoisem Ikulam, they're worse than them all. We know that in the debates during the time when the Srefas Talmud and the kin of Tisha B'Av, what was his name? Donim? I forgot. All the great debaters during that Kufa, during the 12th century, the 3rd century, the Mishumadim, all the great debates. There was a period of time when there were great debates between the Jewish and the Christians. The Ramban was involved. And Rabbi Rattenberg, there were many great people, and they debated the leaders of the Christian church. And it was always a foregone conclusion that the Jews would lose the debate. But who were always, you study all of these stories, who are the people that led the debate on behalf of the church? Apostates, mishumadim, people who were shana, who knew everything inside out. They were once bekim and shas and paiskim, and they chose to become mishumadim, so they knew what to use to attack Klal Yisrael. Stam agoy is nama aretz. Stam agoy, you go take a person that doesn't know from nothing. They try. They open up their mouth. They embarrass themselves. The ignorance is incredible. Doesn't take much. Doesn't take much to show them up. But when you take a person that was. But when you take a person who was a Talmud Chacham and then became an Rabbi Koris, then you're dealing with a very difficult situation. That's what says over here. So that's exactly what the Mitzvah over here says. Hishanu perash yosim kum the worst. These are Yahali Rasha. They praise the Rasha and they're successful. But Yiskarubam. So here the Pasuk tells us, don't let these people get away with it. You shall fight with them. Yasum riva im harsham af im rabim im yunifiram ben many lo yachnifo. Some do not flatter them. Fight them. Engage them. Engage them in debate. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Gimel. There is no Rashi on this pasuk. Now the Medrash is the obvious kasha. The obvious kasha is, let me read you the entire Gemara. You're allowed to fight with them. Shenemar, what's the mukar? How are you allowed to fight with them? What gives you permission to engage them in dialogue? Shenemar, oize sara yehalu rasha v'shoyme sara yiskarbam. That's right. Go fight with them. The Gemara Sakasha, Tanya Nam Yochi Ab Yoy Dostai Bar Mosin Oimer Mutu Liskaros Mershom El Mazeh Shenemar oize sara yehalu rasha v'goimer. V'im Roitze Adam Loimer. If a person is going to whisper in here and say the Oksibut says in the Pasuk V'al Tischar B'mereim V'al Tikane V'oisei Avla. We have a pasuk that says stay far away. Al tischar means do not tiskoitate. The word tischar, this is a pasuk in Tehillim. Tehillim Lamed Zayin. Pasuk Aleph. Al tischar bimereim. Do not fight. Okay, do not fight with the evil people. Anyone that says this, Emoloi mi shaliboy naikva, a person who is a weak-hearted person, is going to quote that pasuk. That pasuk, when it says al tischar, does not mean to fight. Tischar means do not join, do not imitate, do not replicate. Ella al tischar birem liyos kemirem to be like them. So that's the Gemara's first answer. Now, according to this answer, the Gemara, the way the Gemara concludes, there is no such pasuk in Tanakh that says that you should not fight with the Rasha. You should always fight with the Rasha. And the only pasuk that says do not fight is mistaken, because that pasuk does not mean to fight. Does not mean do not fight. It means do not imitate. However, the Gemara goes on to say not everyone agrees that's correct. Some learn al tischar means do not fight, and then indeed we would have a real contradiction. And the answer is imroisa Rasha. Another answer is imroisa Rasha shahasha. Then, because then we have another pasuk that says, "Moroi mishpatecha minegda." Hakadosh Baruch Hu has removed his mishpat from him. Whatever he does, he is successful. The one goes on very psukim, and he's successful.
Pick your battles.
Sometimes you see that wicked people are enjoying a special siyata d'shmaya. Whatever they do, they're successful. In those instances, stay far, far away. And to those people, we apply the pasuk. Al tischar b'mereim, do not be miskoitate. Do not engage them in battle. But stam a person that's no big deal. He's not known to be a very sick. He has plenty of enemies. He's not a very successful person, and he happens to open up his big mouth. He happens to write a letter to the editor in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, Washington Post, and say something really nasty. So you can respond, adarabba. Take him to task. Open up your mouth and fight with him. This is how the Gemara answers the contradiction between these two psukim. And the other answer the Gemara says is, it all depends, mili d'shmaya versus mili d'alma. When it comes to matters, politics, you're dealing with a person who's a Russia, an evil person, not Apikoros, and he writes a letter to the editor about politics, and what he thinks is between Israel and the United States, and this and that. And no, so let him, mili d'alma. Let him say whatever he wants to say. Don't fight with him. You're going to fight with him, you're not going to win. You're not going to win with evil people. People are corrupt. You're not going to win the melee de olma. Matters that do not relate to spirituality. What that means exactly, obviously, has to be defined. You're dealing with national security. You know, if Eretz Yisrael, maybe that's different. I don't know. But melee de olma, don't engage in dialogue. But Nilei Deshmaya, if an apikoris writes in the paper a perish on the pshat and the pasuk, and he tells you this is the pshat and the pasuk, this is the pshat and the chazal, this is what you're supposed to do, hashkafa, don't let him get away with it. That's what the pasuk over here says. Rishoymei sorry yisgaruvam in Nilei Deshmaya, in words of apikursis, that you have a right to fight with Rishoyim. But if an apikoris, a real hardcore apikoris, writes a piece in an editorial in a newspaper that has nothing to do with Yiddishkeit, it has to do with Torah, has to just do his opinion piece. So some people will make a mistake and they'll tell you, they'll use that magic word that Mr. Gladder loves, Das Torah. Right? You'll say, everything comes from Das Torah. Everything comes. If you're not be Kairis in Torah, that means your view of the world is corrupt. Your political agenda is corrupt because it all is rooted in Torah. If you have no das Torah, basically means that if you're a Talmud Chacham, so when you comes to think about Nilei D'Alma, it's rooted in Torah. So if you're not be Kairis, I have a right to disagree with you on what color the car should be. You want to make the car blue? I want the car to be green. How do I know that I'm right and you're wrong? Because you're not Bikaris. And because you're not Bikaris, your mind is corrupt. So being that your mind is corrupt in Torah, when you think about what color the car should be painted, so a corrupt mind decides the color should be blue. But I have Das Torah. I sit and learn Daf Yomi the whole day. So my mind already has been trained to think like a Kaddish Baruch. So when I have to make a decision, Milu Diolma, and I decide the car should be painted green, that is correct. So therefore it's Kedai to fight with you over these matters. Along comes the Gemara. The Gemara says no. It may be true, not true. That's an issue in and of itself. Of Das Torah, what is called Das Torah, what is not called Das Torah. But being that what you're fighting with now at this point in time is over Milu Diolma, don't get involved. Al Tischar Bimereim. Do not engage the Rasha in debate. But when the Apikoros is telling you how to read a pshat the pasuk, oh, that's already a different story. That is touching upon the core of halach and Torah. Then you do have a right to engage, and that's the pasuk here. V'shomrei soira yisgaru vam. You should engage and you should fight. Okay, it takes a lot of backbone to be able to, you know, how many people do we have in history, study Jewish history, how many people, Rabbanim, were able to stand up to the Rishon? Probably the biggest fighter I could think of is of Shamshon Raphael Hirsch. He was the strongest, he's a model for all Rabbanim. Of Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, he fought the Reform like no one else. How many people can we say that, say something like that about? And he was Mekayim Mamish, Almi Nemar, this pasuk. See, if they wrote the Medrash in the 21st century, they would say Almi Nemar, V'shoymer Sar Yiskaruvam, Shamshon Raphael Hirsch. Okay, let's stop over here.